Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Rollers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. Hate on Chris.
I'm smug again, Alan. I'm really smug again. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just watching you on Parked Clubhouse.
Oh, yes, correct. A little bit of a crossover for our listeners.
Yeah, I like it. Worked out pretty nicely. Got to watch you for a little bit. I had a good laugh. It was fun. I enjoyed that. What did you think?
Yeah, good. I got myself as close to the Wi-Fi as possible. As we know, we like to have our audio difficulties. I'd hate for the clubhouse to have to wear the brunt of that. So I did my bit, put a Thrower shirt on. I've since taken said shirt off, and I'm simply sitting in my jocks.
It's hot as fuck in there.
It's pretty warm studio tonight.
In the long sleeve shirt on.
it was good to talk about the non-votational, and you know, we're popular, you know, we we're regular guests, Alan, on said podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's good. And it is an interesting one. It's funny that you're on Park Clubhouse, and because it's a bit funny that they're running it. Anyone who listens to us knows that we don't like taking credit for stuff. Like, that's not really part of our DNA, but the Park Clubhouse was dead in the water, I thought. I'm not sure they had one this year. If they had, it was maybe really early in the year. I just thought they'd given up on it. And then all of a sudden we get Ash and Jace on the mic for the King of the Hill. And then before you know it, Park Clubhouse is back, and
they fired up.
Yeah, back to like regular episodes. So is that us? Did we do that?
Of course we did. To be honest, I've got receipts, Alan. I've got receipts. I've got a receipt that basically says verbatim, "Thanks, boys. It reignited the fire. We're coming back."
Well, then you're welcome.
You're welcome. Exactly. Well, you're welcome.
Only fair they had you on then.
Yeah.
So everyone check that out. Go on the Parked YouTube page and check out the clubhouse if you're not watching it live currently.
Exactly.
All right, I've got a couple PSAs to get us going, and one of them is from The Eruption, and somehow there is room. There is room.
Don't in the tell eruption. Me this, Alan. Don't tell me this.
There has been a whole bunch of dropouts, and which is inexplicable. I don't understand why anyone would do that, but people have been dropping out, and that means that there is somehow space. So if you have been thinking about The Eruption, and I don't know how you couldn't be, get on it. It's only a couple of weeks away now. I've been waiting all year for it. Anyone now only has to wait like 2 weeks.
I know. You have to get on that. I've tried every brownie point under the sun. I even got in the kitchen at one stage this week, but it's just getting me nowhere. I really would love to be there.
Oh, well, that's a shame, but I'm sure there's some people out there. Like, fill that spot. We've got to get back up over 200. There was 600 people registered in the first 30 seconds. So I don't know where all these people went, but it's there. So get on it, anyone who's keen. One of the other PSAs is apparently the club is changing its shop website or some shit like that. But pretty much the old club vouchers won't be valid at a certain point. And I think they're being cool. They're like, you know, if you have them, tell us, we'll change them to the new format. But even better, just use them on the 2026 Early Bird Club membership. No brainer. So get on that now before the Early Bird goes away and before you have to have a bit of a song and dance to get your voucher.
Yeah, no, it's that time of year where I jump into my emails, I search up Melbourne Disc Golf Club, start pooling all my vouchers together and sign up for another year. I went through that exercise a couple of days ago following in those emails, and maybe they've changed their email address because my inbox was pretty dry when I went searching for vouchers.
Well, yeah, you kind of got to show up to social days.
Oh shit!
To sort of win any prizes. So if you haven't done that this year, then you might be in some strife here.
I might actually have to cough up. I can't remember the last time I had to cough up for a membership.
It's wild, isn't it? I'm sure I'm in the same. I've definitely got some vouchers from winning some sort of club run event or a CTB at a social day or something like that. So they're there, and we will once again not pay for club membership or the Ace Pool. I'm sure I'll win something again before that comes around. So,
yeah.
And the third and final PSA is we've been tracking Marky Davis on his ace journey, trying to ace hole one at Ruffy Lake. And I haven't seen it today, but assuming he hadn't aced today.
No, bingo. He did not ace today.
And assuming he doesn't get it done Friday or Saturday, he will be doing it in between rounds on Sunday. So we want to try to get a big crowd there. Penn cannot come because he's a piece of shit, but everyone else is more than welcome to come and watch Marky hopefully get an ace.
Yep. Look, obviously, I shared on day 3 or 4 with an over-under line of 9.5 days. Would he get it done in under 10 days? And most people went for under 10 days, and that has not eventuated. I tried to put one up today. I don't know what went wrong there, Marky, but I try to reshare you again today with a new line of 99 days because it turns out you're not getting it done. Honestly, what I thought was, if you get this to triple digits, like Throwlers and our episode count, you'll go viral. Like, that'd be funny.
Day 100.
Like, imagine, like, day 104, I still haven't got it, and I've got 97 chain outs. That'd be elite.
It would be. We'd make him a mini. If you go to 100 days, we'll give you a mini. We'll get custom minis made for you.
Yeah. Done.
That'd be cool. I'm definitely keen to check that out. You actually going to make it? You're signed up?
I know. I'd love to take you behind the curtain with my my household at the moment. And I look. I've broached it. It didn't land particularly well.
Well, I'm doing what I can because I put you in one of the matchups, and I know you don't want to let me down there.
I know.
I've got your tie-dye shirt still.
I know you wearing your tie-dye shirt. So, I've got reason to get there. I'm going to try.
I probably won't see you again for ages after this. So this is now or never.
Yeah, I really want to take down Aiden. I love that matchup. I really want to take down Aiden.
Yeah, nice. Good deal. All right, PSA is done. We got to go to the most important thing. The start of the month is ratings update day, and wowie. We were really waiting on this one because we wanted to see if the Throwlers Invitational rating stuck, and of course they did because it's so legit. And that was big news for a lot of people, but Dave Perry probably the most. How did it all shake out for Dave?
Yeah, so look, we now have a new record in Australian history, and to just associate that yet again with our production of a tournament is just brings me great pride. But we now have a 10-16 rated golfer.
It's plus so weird, eight. Man. It's so weird. There's touring pros. That's what they rate. Like Fish, who tours, was like 10-12 when he came down here. Dave's fucking 10-16. It's weird.
Yeah,
there's a big difference between 1,000 and 1016.
There really is. And David Perry is that difference, I would argue. David Perry is that difference. And there's someone else, though. There's someone else that's made it to top 10. Did you spot that?
I did. Our boy Mikey made it all the way up to the 10th highest rated player in Australia.
How good. 975.
It's wild. I love that. I'm on his page right now. And when was it? So at February of this year, he was 937 rated.
Yep.
937 rated. He was like Kalen. He was just as shit as Kalen. And now he's the 10th best player in Australia. Not bad. But that's a very impressive feat there by Mikey.
Oh, it's dream big, kids. Dream big.
13 rating point bump. Obviously, a very big Throwlers event for him, so that helps a bit. But it's been brewing. This was just the helping hand he needed to get where he needs to be.
No, and I got into a bit of a chat with him, and you know, this is not the ceiling because, as you're rightfully pointing out, he's got a few rounds to drop. That'll come out in the next few months. And so if he just like plays 950 golf for a couple of months, he's just going to climb.
Yeah, he's got two sub 900 rounds in there.
Yep.
There's no way anyone else in the top 10 has two sub 900 rounds counting as well in his thing. So, yeah, pretty hectic. And what he wasn't exactly super thrilled. Like, obviously stoked with the plus 13 improvement, but what did it mean for him deviation wise?
Yeah, it smashed him. It killed his standard deviation. And so a previously uncounted round is now counted, which was like 890 something, because it just blew his standard deviation out of the water. I shared that a little bit on Clubhouse as well. And knowing Dave Perry as little as anyone does, I have to assume that's probably annoying David Perry as well. I actually reached out to the Enigma, David Perry, and said, any feedback, constructive or otherwise, mate? What did you make? What are you thinking? What, you know, how is the dust settled? And let me just check. Nothing.
Oh, he'll get back to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, obviously we know he listens. So now that he's hearing this, maybe he'll reach out.
Mm. So he's not the only one with some big jumps, though. There was good movement for a few people from Oz this day. So Ryan Johnson went up 12 spots. He's the 17th highest rated player in Australia now, and 9 ratings points. He had himself a very good Ausdisc weekend. I think he played both days and went ham on both of them.
So he's now got Ruben covered.
Yeah. 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 So he's got to be, oh no, what's his name? It will still be the highest MP40. Maybe not. No, it looks like Ryan Johnson's the highest rated here. He's climbed over Paul Phillips by one stroke.
He has, yeah.
Well, one ratings point, I should say.
Yep.
Any other big – well, there's some crazy big jumpers that we don't really know about, like the big 40s and 50s and stuff like that. Charlotte Davies up 39, so if you don't mind. And then let's see who else we can find. Victorians, Glenn Ralston with a 23-point bump. Bang. Still unders, I would think, 869. That still seems low for him. Other names jumping out?
Yeah, definitely. We have a new player has entered the chat in regards to female disc golf in Australia. So obviously Huss retains her top spot, but we've got a new player too that one of our listeners beautifully pointed out to us with a plus 34 jump.
Bang. Big.
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 Who's that?
That is none other than selected by myself for the Australian disc golf team, rightfully so, can smell talent a mile away, even when they live in Newcastle, Kirsten Murray.
Mm, very nice. Yep, she's very talented. She's an athlete. She's got an athlete boyfriend too.
Mm-hmm.
So good setup there for them. But that's big. Second highest rated player, female player in Australia. Nice.
Played MA2 at the recent New South Wales Open, where a lot of the MPO boys struggled to get decent round ratings, did not hinder Kirsten Murray with a 906 and a 920 rated round amongst her collection, coming second and taking scalps in MA2. We love to see it.
How far is she behind Huss?
Only now, what is it, 10 rating points? What is that?
Okay. Getting spicy. Only,
Yep. No, it's exactly 10 rating points.
Yeah, very, very spicy. I like that.
Yep.
We've got a big jump from Michael Smith as well, plus 15. I know there's two of them.
There's actually seven of them.
Seven of them, but we got a few. So I'm hoping that's one of ours. So well done there, Michael. And if it's not you, Michael, then sorry, Michael.
Yep.
Aaron DeBoer up 14 as well. I feel like this might be his first round of disc golf this year.
Tell me you're on Matt Green's special spreadsheet.
Of course I am.
I completely forgot that existed until you started spitting off these random shit.
Just
I
was nailing like, it.
Yeah, I was like, what's he got out? What, he's done a deep dive, bro.
Nah, Matty Green sorted us out. Seb Gutierrez plus 11, Doug Adams plus 11. So big jumps from a lot of people. I think Oz this day, like these are huge numbers. There's like a million people 10 plus. So I think Ozdisc did this day did a number on quite a few people. And I did a little bit of work the other way as well. Tom Mason, negative 20. Oofed. Oofed. That's tough. He didn't exactly have a lot to lose to begin with. So that's a big, that's a lot. Dan Frost, not Victorian, yeah, but one of the typical top dogs, is no longer in, he was in the 980 club and now he's not even in the 970 club. A 12 ratings point drop from just what is, I could say is a horrible New South Wales Open. And he must have had a bad event before that as well in there. So just struggles for Frosty. I don't know what's going on there.
Anthony Magan, down 9.
Down 9, no good for Tony. Yeah, he was at Throllers. That didn't work out so well for him. The other Chris Scott too, Snapper. Rough one for him, down 9. Not seeing too much else getting really, really hampered there. Josh Quinn down 6. But yeah, nothing else too dramatic after that. So mostly gainers for the Vic crew. So that's nice.
There you go. All right, how did you go?
I went up 4 from memory, I think, which is like,
yeah, you did.
It's a crazy amount for me to go up. And the new all-time high.
Bang.
So 928, I think, from off the top of my head. I don't have myself up, but I'm knocking on the door of that 930.
With non-invitational, 3 can't come around fast enough.
Exactly. And I think I had a pretty unstellar eruption last year, potentially. So that could be coming off the board. Hopefully put myself up with a nice eruption to replace it. So, yeah, we'll see. Oh, it looks like I played Ozdisc Golf Day in Ballarat last year. Does that ring a bell?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I'm checking. That's in there. I always play well at Ballarat. So those are nice, but some trash ones at the Kingston City Classic. What happened to that? We're not doing that anymore, hey?
Come on, Jeff. Come on, Jeff.
And then, yeah, an 867 in there at Eruption. So it could tick over that 930 mark by the end of next month. That'd be spicy. I'll take that.
That'd be very spicy. You might actually be a qualified MA1 player.
It's still 7 away, but we're working our way there. It's been a good couple of months, so we'll go from that. All right, beautiful. Anything else that you've noticed on for the ratings? Didn't move, did you?
I may have snuck out to non-invitational and shat the bed round 2, and shin the bed round 2 cost me 4. So you got 4, I lost 4.
No, net even for the group, so that's all right.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very, very slowly being as good as you are shit.
Yes.
One day I will be exactly as good as you are shit, and that'll be a special day.
in the podcast history.
We're very, very slowly just going in opposite directions.
Yeah.
But like, this is like how Mount Everest forms. We're very, very slowly crashing into each other, and it grows as much as your fingernails do. So yeah. It's like an inch a year, and we're getting there. What do you think we'll meet at?
Whoa, there's a question. We will meet at 939.
Oh, I'll take a 938, so we're on the right page.
Yeah.
I like it. That's cool.
Yep.
And yeah, hopefully that'll be for me sooner rather than later, but for you, maybe a couple of years.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. We had, math chat. I've gotten written down here, math chat. And, it's because I didn't think we got enough math chat, for the people that were in, what's the tipping comp chat that we've got?
Social tipping comp chat.
That's it. I got to find that because I actually need it to do my math again. So something happened with the draws, and we got onto talking about how, like, what the value of a draw should be. And I planned on doing a bit of research after the season to find out whether I need to adjust it, because I basically just picked an arbitrary number. I just thought 3 would be good enough value that people would pick it sometimes, but not so good that people only pick it, because that's shit too. But I wanted to figure out like what it's actually worth. And I kind of had a theory of sort of working backwards. I was going to try to figure out the value of a point and this whole shebang. But yeah, we've got some pretty smart cookies in the chat. And I think there was a couple of things here and there, but the one that really ended up sorting it out in the end is Dan Frawley came up with a amount that there were 7 draws this year from 79 matchups, which equals 8.86%.
Mm-hmm.
And for mine, I just rounded that up to like about a 10, just to give a bit of a house edge. And therefore, in my mind, it meant that picking a winner, like if you got a 10% chance of a draw, then picking a winner was about 40%. And then a winner or a loser, you know what I mean? It's about 40% chance of one of the other two. That means a correct point has about 40% statistical chance. And so therefore for a draw being at 10%, I feel like you need to times it by 4 to make up the difference. That's how I read this situation. So it means 4 points comes for a draw. That's pretty good math, Chad, isn't it? You're a math teacher. Is that work?
Look, I didn't follow a fucking thing you were saying. I really feel like you somehow took like a scientifically proven topic and turned it somehow into a philosophical thing.
Nah. That's pure maths.
And that's why like probability and gambling is a real problematic topic in the mathematics world because people put perspectives in and it's just, it's a black and white topic. But no, 4. Like, I love 4 points for a draw. I think as a game master, 4 is the right amount. I think it's worth 5, 5.5 mathematically, but that's not what a game master should do. Like, they should make it, you should stack it in the house's favor, which you have highlighted, and a 4 is the right number.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, 4 is, that the math checks. You're a math teacher. I don't know how you're not seeing that, but...
because you had 2 lots of 40 and a 10, which equals 90. And now you've got 3 lots of 40,
so 4.5. That's why they ran up to 5. Yeah. So this is why we need to do math chat. So yeah, it's 4.5. So 45%, 45%, and then 10. And then, so it would be 4.5. That's why Zach wrote that it equates to 5 for a draw.
Yes.
That's way too many. So that's why I'm thinking maybe 4 for next year. We'll see how it goes. If people start picking 4 draws all the time, though, then I'll just take it away. Oh, I'll take that back down.
Well, you will only take it away if they get up.
Yeah, but I still just don't want it. Like, if everyone's just going, oh, fuck it, I'll pick draw all the time, what's the fun of that?
Yeah, I know. I've got no idea. Your matchups this week, I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, they could be a million rating points away from each other, and I can't be arsed looking, so I'm just going to pick one.
Cool. That's cool. I very deliberately leave out the ratings points.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was Matt Chat, so thanks for that.
You've done well. Dan Frawley, I already got a shout-out on this pod before. Obviously, I bumped into him at a maths PD one day. Didn't even know the man was a maths teacher. So welcome to the chat, Dan Frawley. You've done well again.
Excellent. We've got an airing of grievances, so they normally get sent to me, but this one went to you, and so I've been informed it's about me. I have not heard it yet, but you've just sent it to me before, so I don't know who sent it in, and I don't exactly know what it's about. I had a strong feeling it was going to be from Ash Weedner about Math Chat in the tipping chat. Because earlier this year, I gave him and someone shit for talking a lot of shit in that chat. And so that's what I thought it was coming from. But you dropped a couple of hints that led me to believe it wasn't that. So I'm interested. So we'll see how it goes.
The airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. You're going to hear about it.
I remembered.
Well done.
I remembered. All right, we'll see how it goes.
G'day, boys. Ross here. You know, Marky's dad. Look, I kind of rate my game as, you know, socially competitive, and I finally battled my way out of Div C to last week play my first round in Div B at Werribee. I'm pretty happy with the results, played above my rating to really put me solidly in that Div B group. And looking forward this week to playing Bald Hill as a real competitive part of Did B. I just happened to look at the tipping and I see Alan fucking Brunstein has decided differently and gone and put me against all of the Div C in some sort of do you really think you're out of Div C now move.
Yeah.
Are you taking the piss?
Yes.
So I'm recording this on Friday, but pretty sure I go ahead to play a dominant round at Bald Hill and reward all those informed tipsters who tip correctly. And look, I might even be challenging the king of the stink pile. So go and stick that up your polecat, Alan. Anyway, boys, love the pod. Keep up the good work.
Excellent. That's so good.
It is.
Yeah, well, he was giving me shit the week before for being too late on the tipping. And I was like, well, I'm going to give him a shit matchup that he won't like. And I'm glad it worked.
So I'll ask you to cast your memory back, Alan. This is so as for the listeners who didn't quite catch it, he sent that grievance in before the social day. So yes. The social day is not shook out yet. He did. He was obviously referencing the tipping margins. There was Div C versus Ross Davies. Alan, who did you tip?
I would have taken Div C for sure.
You 100%. I have receipts in front of me. You definitely tipped the Div C winner as your tip. And you were wrong. Ross yes. Davies got the chocolates comfortably. And who do you think I tipped?
You picked Ross?
I did. Oh, I picked Ross. So, and as listeners will remember, I fucking only got two right. That was one of only two. But look, it's fair to say I'm the favourite in that household at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure. Exactly. Now, well done, Ross. Yep. Good. You beat Div C. Good on you, big dog. I reckon he got him by a stroke. We're doing that this week, aren't we?
Or yeah, no, that'll be today, won't it?
Yeah, we'll have a look at that in a bit then.
Yeah.
Do we have the best thrower of a disc? Have we got that sorted? We got a couple more up ready to rob.
Oh yeah, surely you do. You're ready to go, aren't you?
I don't, but I think you're the one who received this information.
All right, let's have a look. Where did we get up to last week?
Kaelin.
All right, wicked. I know, and we did Oscar, surely.
Yeah, and Oscar, yeah, because it was hotly contested by Vil, who just said, no, I'm better than anyone.
Yeah. Let's move on to... Whoa, imagine if I, like, kept names on these receipts. That'd be really organized. who is this chap? All right, I'll just read this out, and we'll see if we can figure out who this chap is. I would say the Nomad, which is my dead straight putter. Oh, who is this? Is this maybe a Johnny Martin?
I thought the Nomad was Kaelin.
Nah, well, this is the thing. It says, I would say I'm probably the Nomad, even though I think Kaelin throws it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I don't know. But, mate, they said it to you. Don't look at me.
I reckon that's Johnny Martin, but we'll come back to that. Let's go to James Honeyman. I'm obviously not on the scene a bunch anymore. And there's some killers out there, but I'm putting my hand up for the best Berg thrower. There's a spicy one. There is a spicy one. Most use it as an isolated utility disc. I have it backhand and forehand up to 70 meters, along with countless throw-ins and even a roller. Highlights are probably a Stony Hole 10 chain out. And a Stony Old Hole 13, so the bloody long boy, the long hole par four, with an eagle from 65 meters with the Berg.
That's big. I don't think the Berg goes 70 meters, though. Is he pulling our leg here? Is he full of shit?
No, I don't know. Just saying. He's saying he can throw it 70. He's got a 65-meter eagle with it.
All right. Yep. There you go. Honey with the Berg, big time.
Yep. It has to count, I reckon. Look, we should also, this is probably a Joel versus Hardy battle, but the other one we want to put in there, and it's just actually not a very popular disc. So I think it does come to Joel and Hardy, even though this is an innova disc, the Excalibur. Is anyone else out there throwing an Excalibur?
Nah, no one throws the Excalibur. But neither of them play disc golf, so I'm hard to it's hard pressed to give that to either one of them.
All right.
But Hardy actually comes at a social day or two a year. So if it's going to be anyone, we'll give it to Big Dog Hardy.
Well done. There you go, Hardy.
I know
Aiden.
Yeah.
Do we? I've got others. I don't know how many you want me to reel off. We, like we said, we do have a list. Aiden's claiming a couple. What do you reckon Aiden's out there claiming?
Well, he's the big time RPN boy, and he's the only one in Victoria, I think, that throws a Kahu. So a Kahu.
Yeah, and is it the Ruru?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's claiming both of those.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. It's hard to. Who's going to take the Kahu off him? No one else throws that.
So no one. And like the Kahu for me is like a bloody, he's got some crazy Kahus that he throws like trails.
Yeah, there's XGs.
Yeah.
Extra Glidey boys. They're like, they're basically like a shrike.
Yeah. I've got one other that has already been mentioned this pod and would be remiss of us not to mention him again. But they're the better Brunsting. The better Brunsting is messaged in, and he is claiming a disc. And it's a good way of me is just asking you is what do you think he's claiming, because it kind of just speaks for itself, like I just did with Aiden. What do you reckon the better Brunsting is claiming?
The only disc that he can throw good at all, which is a P Waka Waka.
Correct. He is claiming the P Waka Waka.
No, he does wild shit with that. I got no problem with that. Like he can throw it on hyzer and it fly like a Firebird. I don't understand.
Yep.
He can do whatever he wants with that disc, except for throw it more than 50 meters. But anything within 50, he can do anything he wants with that disc.
so true, but it's elite. No one can do, if you had like a P Waka Waka only round at Bald Hill, you're donezo. Like you just can't, you just won't get as many looks as Jeff will look, and if he hits him, you're done. Yeah,
nah, for sure. No one else is taking that, so
yeah.
I like it. So, yeah, if you got any others that that people want, send them in. I think Chris might have still a few more. We'll get up a sleeve for next week. But, send them in. We want to know who's the best thrower of a specific disc.
I think you suggested last week, Alan, that we should, like, get a more formal system for tracking this. I can see why you said such things now that I'm scrambling a bit here.
Yeah. Well, I think I suggested you do it.
Okay, sweet. People send
them to you, so.
Okay, sweet. All right, I'll see what I can do.
That's it. I'm not part of our socials, so I don't know what's going on. all right, let's check out Bald Hill Social Day. Why wasn't I there? I was in Sydney. It was just last weekend. Yeah, I was in Sydney working with the old man, so. I did not make it, unfortunately, but it was a pretty big crew out there, which is nice to see. And we had some good throwers guarantee stuff out there as well. So plenty to check out. Starting from the bottom, though, we had a Div C winner, which we'll have to keep an eye on that score, was Paul Baker with an even, getting it done over Simon McKay and Paul Rogers. Even is the score that Ross Davies had to beat to prove to himself and everyone else that he's a big, bad Div B boy.
That's on the back of a spotlight from me, from Paul Baker. So I'll take credit for that as well. Congrats on the Div C victory there, Paul Baker. What about Div Zed? He has to be nearly out of Div Zed, doesn't he?
Well, he's got to be, if he's got to sign up to be a member. So Div X is the non-Metro Trader one. Div Z is Zara refused to pay for membership. So
come on, Joel.
Yeah.
You're better than that.
Yeah, Joel Way with a neg 5, which is not great. Not great at Bald Hill. So my dollars guarantee of Chris Scott beating him, looking real good. Doing nothing on the back nine. One birdie on the back nine. I mean, I know it's tough, but like, didn't even get 10. Yeah, no good there, Joel.
No good.
What about Div B?
Div B, the wrong Davies, not the one we're looking for, but Marcus. This is another, couldn't separate him. I think we had five or six of them last week, another four this week. So we got Marcus, Zach Schleffel, Alex Ritchie,
again,
obviously Mr. Electric himself, and Richard Lewis-Shell, all on neg six. Gapping Jason Wiedner. Bang! That man can throw. I said to say get stuffed, by the way. I nearly forgot. Johnny Martin on the neg fours.
Yeah, very nice. Nice scores there. Markey being in the same division as his dad for one round. And then he says, I'm better than this. And he's found himself in the Div 8. So very nice.
Well done.
And then, yeah, Ross Davies there at neg 2, which is 2 better than even. So he did in fact take out Div C. So nice clean scorecard, just the one bogey and a couple sneaky birds.
I got 11. That's what I'm seeing.
Was that a 65 meter throw in with a berg as well?
He got 11.
Are you sure that's not 10?
I don't know. Jason got 11 as well. I don't know what's going on.
They fuck something up. There's no way because no one birdied hole 10.
I can't get to circle 3 on fucking 11. I'm not having Jason and Davies birding 11. This fuck is a mistake. This.
There's mistakes here. There's no way. No birdies in hole 10 and 2 on hole 11 for Div B. Fuck off.
Nah, errors have been made. How is no one in Div B birdied 10? What is happening?
I don't know, man. I don't get it. crazy.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, definite shenanigans there. They're full of shit. all right. And even went Markey with a big birdie on hole 12. Fuck. That's huge. A 2 on hole 12 is massive. That's wild. Him and Richard Lewis-Shell. No one gets that in a Div C.
Yeah.
No, Div B, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Smells fishy again.
maybe they're all a hole over or something.
Yeah, it smells fishy. Or they're not at Bald Hill and we're just cooked.
Mm. Yeah, no shit. It's a bicentennial.
No, they were at Bald Hill, though. They were at Bald Hill. Hang on a second.
We are reading the wrong results.
We are. We actually fucking are. Because I'm looking at the metrics page and there is not many birdies on all 11. Only Kalen. All right. Fucking Alex has done us a number here. Look, we can blame Alex. All right, so down the tools.
Yeah, that down was the dumb. Tools that and was let's dumb go. Far. I was like, I was sure Ross only won by one. And then when I said he was in it for a minute, I remember saying how last week Markey was in Div A.
Yeah. All right. The problem is I can't tell who the Div C and shit winner
yeah,
was.
Yeah, so we're gonna have to abandon that. We Alex Evans sends us screenshots of all the division. Like the scores by division before he finalizes it. It's in a big mess and we've become to rely on that. And we've just feel like Anchorman where we've just blindly read.
It's funny because only a couple of weeks ago did I notice he made the same mistake. He's never made this. This is the second time in history that he's made this mistake.
Yeah.
And I noticed a couple of weeks ago and both you and him were like, what the fuck are you talking about, Chris? I'm like, bro, like have a look at what you've sent us. And he's done it again.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, down to the actual results. One birdie for the whole day on hole 11, and that's Kalen. That makes a lot more sense.
Yep. Hole 12, pretty light on.
Yeah.
just Ryan Deer.
Exactly. all right. So, yeah, hard to see who did what, but, we saw – who was I talking about? Ross Davies. He must have been plus one, and I reckon Div C winner was plus two.
Yeah.
Possibly Albie Cunningham.
Maybe Matt Daniels or Albie Cunningham.
Yeah. That whole, I think there might have been a couple of them. Trash. So my throwler's guarantee which was Joel Way, a neg 8, much better score at Bald Hill. And yep. Chris Scott, I'm just scrolling way too far to find his name. Neg 4 at Bald Hill. He took an eagle. He got half of it in a hole. I mean, fuck, man. That's so shit.
Talk about light back nines.
Yeah.
The bloke was even through the back 12.
I can take losses.
Minus four on the front six and even for the rest.
Yeah, cheers, Chris. 4 point shellacking there. Your throwers guaranteed didn't fare too much better either. You had Mikey Hare not to make the podium, and he was two strokes clear of Ville on top.
I was not aware at the time that he was a 9.75 disc golfer. Mistakes were made.
So this is going to be the first social day that Ville hasn't won in a minute, I feel like. But, big scores from Ville. Double digits is always good. Just edging out Ryan Deere and Penn Lu.
Yep.
Big scores there. I don't know. We spoke too much already about what didn't happen, so... Not going to bore you with what actually did. But we'll check out the handicaps for a sec. Luis Saverde. Shit. took out the top
you
spot.
You mean Saavedra?
Yep. That's what I meant. Out the top spot. Mikey Hare in second place, which is he's only 9.45 rated on metrics, so
crazy.
That hasn't caught up.
Yep.
And then on the other end, we got Ilya Kravchenko in the bottom. So he was starting to charge for a bit, and the last few he's dropped quite a bit. And Tom Mason with the heavy fall in PDJ rating, also taking a bit of a shit on the handicap leaderboard. So no good there.
Yep.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to edit out that, but I probably won't because it's late. It's late already.
Just leave it in.
Just leave it in.
Leave it for the listeners. People need to know that Alex make mistakes.
Let's see if they figure it out, how long it takes someone to figure it out. When you realize, hey, you guys are reading the wrong shit, you morons, check your timestamp. And set it in, and we want to find out who figured it out the quickest.
Faster than us.
I'm sure we've got a throwers mini or something that we could sort you out with.
Yep.
Just let us know. How did we not get it at the fucking Jace Weeder birdie 11?
I didn't know what was happening.
All right, USDGC happened. We know about that. That happened on the weekend, and it was fucking pretty good. Did you get to watch much of it?
I did. Of course I did. I watched lots of it. The final round was hard because obviously I was at work on Monday. But with the 5:30 tee offs, I think the MPO guys were going off. I think I watched all of round three.
Sick.
Every hole. So no, I watched bunches of it. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
How did it go down for you? Well, what was interesting storylines at least?
Yeah, obviously just another phenomenal event and, you know, cream rises to the top in a four-round event. It was great to see the likes of Paul McBeth just get out of the gates with a neg 10, 1086, one short of the elusive David Perry. And then we had Corey Ellis pop off, Andrew Marweed and Evan Scott take out the top four, followed by some even some other mixed names such as Ty Love, Luke Taylor finding themselves on chase card. But then you had Aaron Gossage, Ricky Wysocki, Anthony Barella, Calvin Heimberg, all thereabouts. Fire up round two.
I've said this before, I'll say it again, and no one besides me sees this, but Corey Ellis and Andrew Marweed are the same person. And I don't know how they've done this to put them both on lead card, but that is some phenomenal camera work by the crew, and they need to get a solid shout out because this, you couldn't tell. You couldn't tell. It was like
no one else sees it.
It was like watching The Parent Trap. I was so impressed. But no one else sees it, and that's, I don't know. Is it not like to everyone else? Not me.
Round two happens, and Ricky Wysocki goes ham.
Fucking ham. Shit.
Yeah. Cracks 1,100. I pointed this out on the clubhouse. Did you hear me point this out on the clubhouse?
Yeah, I was up to that part.
Were you aware that this did not calculate?
I was after you messaged me the other day and told me.
Yeah. So, and a few of our listeners pointed it out. I was aware, it's been the case for a number of years, that this is known as like an X major or an experimental major. And so this 1,100 rated round, rated round from Ricky Wysocki will not count towards his rating in the next update. USDGC does not count because it's classified as experimental, and essentially they're taking the piss with a little bit of their stroke and distance rules, and so it doesn't count. But
yeah, I think it's got to do with things that aren't actually in the disc golf, like the rules of disc golf. So like the whole 17, there's nothing in the rules of disc golf that say you can do that. So you got to get special permission for that. Plus, they also have some wacky drop zone rules, right? Where it's like, you can choose to go to this drop zone, or you can choose to like do from this, or if you miss this, you have to go to this drop zone. And
yeah. Oh, so, yeah. No. So drop zones should be optional, but they do the opposite. They say proceed to this drop zone. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think, because they're not typical disc golf rules, they have to count it as an X tier, and it just happens to be an X tier major. And X tiers don't count towards your rating, but it has it everywhere. That's in the rule book. So we're in the clear.
Yeah, we are so in the clear. And again, listen to Clubhouse. I point that out. But you know, if this was to ever, like, because the thing is, what it does is it creates scoring separation, and therefore it inflates ratings. And so, hey, just let USDG at it, and then therefore let us at it, and we'll fucking do some creative shit too.
Hectic round, though. I still can't believe he threw out of bounds off the tee at hole 18. Like, he's just putting together one of the most fucked up rounds ever, and then just a crazy mistake by him on hole 18.
Yeah. No, you've got players like Will Schustrick. Shooting plus 13, three-time USDGC champ, shooting plus 13 that same round. And, you know, Nico LeCastro plus 10. What's another relatively strong name? Cole Radalin, who's been popping off, plus 5. James Conrad, who's gone dormant, plus 4. Nate Sexton, plus 4. Like, Drew Gibson, plus 3. It's tough. It's tough, and Ricky Wysocki was like, I'll just have an egg 13, thanks.
That's wild.
Yeah. But anyway, going to round three, how sexy. Ricky, AB, Paul McBeth, and Luke Taylor.
Ooh, nice.
Huge.
Cut.
Huge. Round three happens. Ricky quietens. The whole lead card quietens, except for AB, who shoots a neg 8. And Calvin pops off on chase card with a neg 8 and finds himself onto lead card. And then you just go into like the final round with a dream final 4, really, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You can't draw it up much better than that. I mean, like Gannon Burr in there would be nice, but like who do you want to take out to put him in? Like that's a sexy card right there.
Yeah, especially if you tip Calvin Heinberg, you love to see him at the at the pointy end, right when it matters. But you backed your boy in. I'm pretty sure you had nothing but confidence last week with AB.
Yeah. I think my exact words were, he's the fucking man, number one player in the world, and he'll definitely win it. I reckon was what I went with. Anthony Barella. I've been saving him all year for this exact tournament because he came second in it last year. And I just knew that he had this burning desire to really win it, to really focus on this. And he didn't let me down.
He didn't let me down. And he did not let you down. He gapped the field in the end. T2 with Ricky and Paul, but AB takes it down. And then Calvin took the par on 18 to slip away from that T2 as well. AB, first time major winner.
Very well done by him. Hole 10 was the sort of the big one, the big swaying point in the final round. I think there might have been a tie, or Paul might have even been one up at that stage. Paul was doing the layup play for whatever reason. He's doing it all week.
all week, yeah.
And threw it out of bounds. And AB's like, yeah, I'll just take another fucking eagle. Like, this is nothing for me. And it sort of didn't let up after that. And it got a little squirrely at the end, and Paul tried to ace hole 17 and didn't work out so well. So, yeah, big time. Four-stroke win for AB. Definitely felt a little closer than that. Paul hit that fucked up putt. He put like a 120-meter putt in on 16.
Yeah.
And it's just like I heard AB talking about it. He just goes, thank God I was in the bullseye, because if I had a 25-footer, I would have missed it. Yeah. And he said that when Paul was lining it up, he just like looked to his dad, who was his caddy, and was like, he will definitely hit this. Like, there's no way he won't. And it just for a second, it would have been crazy to see if he was at like 25 feet to see what would have happened. Because it's just like, of course Paul hits that shit. It really reminded me of like hole 17 at Worlds or something a couple of years ago when he took down Goose. Right, he just hit this crazy long putt out of nowhere, and Goose was just like, "What the fuck, man? Like, this is bullshit."
Yeah, and he's done it on 17 at USDGC as well. Have you heard Paul talk about it?
Oh, no. What did he say?
Paul's the beast. Paul is such the beast. He was like, because AB and a couple others were in bullseye, the crowd behind the basket were walking on to hole 17 because it's a long walk from 16 to 17. And Paul in his head, like as he's getting set, goes, well, I guess they're going to miss something pretty special. Bang.
Sick. Sick. That's cool. I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the final major of the year, AB wins it. Ricky second with Paul, Calvin fourth, Antela in fifth, Gannon his worst finish of the year, I feel like, and seventh. But pretty fitting that all those big boys right there at the top, like they're the guys. There's no one else who's sliding in. Isaac Robinson in tenth. Yeah, cool to see. It was a fun watch.
My bank account got a little boost today, Alan.
It did. It did. I sent you 400 of my hard-earned dollars because I held the tipping money from 8 months ago, which is I don't know how that's just in my account now. That's my money. But anyway, for taking out the big win in the pro tipping comp. So well done, mate. You had Calvin Heinberg and Owen in the FPO at the Throw Pink.
Yes.
And Calvin was the big one, right? It was basically... you needed Calvin to do numbers against, well, like hang around with Ricky at least, right?
Ricky, I went in with a 71-point lead or something like that, and we're using the Pro Tour points times two. And so I just needed him to not get smashed by Ricky. And at one stage, it looked like Ricky could have won and Calvin could have come 10th, and that would have been really problematic for me. But yeah, it didn't shake out that way. So I took the chocolates, who we all had in the FPO. Kind of became redundant. Like I kept owning up my sleeve, and she got like nothing. She got like 20th.
Much of a grabs for that. I think only 70 points or something.
Yeah. And so that didn't matter, but just to put it back out on the airways again, you'll hear us talk about it when next Pro Tour season is rolling around. We will plug it. We have said that this is the best tipping comp we are a part of, and I just want to reiterate that message. And when you hear us talking about it next week, hit us up, get involved. It's if you follow the Pro Tour at all, please get along. If you follow it closely, you can stay away if you wish. But it's a great tipping comp to be a part of.
Yeah, for sure. It's super amount of fun. If you're keen at all, let us know now. We'll put you in the chat that'll just sit there for a few months or whatever, so that you're already there when it comes around again. But yeah, it's super fun. We chuck a few bucks on the line so you can get a nice winner. And we follow the Pro Tour. It's really cool and really easy to do and really well run. It's an international comp with the crew from New Zealand. So get on board.
Yeah. It was built in New Zealand, and yeah, there's a bunch. It'd be 50-50, or maybe Aussies probably have the numbers just, but yeah, lots of Kiwis in the comp as well.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I was hoping to get some audio from Kaelin, but I think he's let me down here. Let me just check the messages. Yeah, nothing. He's put together a bunch of stats for the Street League and some really cool graphics, so keep an eye on that. He's going to have that out there soon. But he was going to send some audio through as well. of a bit of a breakdown of the Street League stats. I didn't feature in any of the graphics, so I don't know what's going on with that, probably because I haven't had a win. But they look cool, so I'm sure people will see that soon, and maybe we'll get some audio from him next week. So, yeah, but the Street League matchup's looking pretty good for this weekend. Somehow we're playing Van Kalen again, which we did 2 weeks ago. How would that work? Yeah, they should have. I feel like we should have played a different team, but anyway, good-looking matchups across the board. I'm excited for mine. I'm in the doubles alt shot, I think. Or not. We're just straight-up doubles. It's myself and Taryn versus Alex Evans and Zach Schleff. So, I mean, that's a bloodbath. I'm finally getting my first win. there's no way I don't. That's great. I'll murder that. But Ruffy, me and my buzz, Taryn and his squall, what the hell is Alex and Zach going to do? Nothing. So we'll see how we go for the rest of the crew. I'm feeling confident about this week, but that's a win.
Congratulations.
Cheers. and some other juicy matchups. Joel versus Leo, I think, is going to be pretty tasty. And Chris Scott versus Penn, always going to be very, very exciting. So cool to see them and a bunch of other good ones. So, yeah, we're keeping an eye out for that for sure.
Yes, please.
Do some Thrallers guarantee. We both yes. are still stuck on 38 because we got fuck all last week and the previous 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
which is disheartening. I would like you to score up my tipping matchup that I have, which is myself versus Brett Zeeble.
No, good. Good matchup. So 9-3-4 there for Brett Zeeble, 9-2-4 for you.
Brett's put up, like, his metrics rating's gone fucking ham.
Yeah.
When I was looking at it today, I was like, shit. So he must be playing real well lately. This is not to pump up the things. This is just like, I did not realize Brett was up to 9-34.
A stroke and a half better than you. Yeah.
He's got Kalen covered. He's just behind Leo. Like, he's putting up numbers. So, it's honestly why I did it. I wanted to give myself a bit of a challenge. I was like, all right, Brett's obviously up and about. Let's go.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Look, Bald Hill, he gets the nod over you comfortably, but this is not Bald Hill. This is Ruffy Lake. Now, It's tight. It's a bit of a 4.5, 5.5 situation. I will, just playing into your arrogance a little bit, I am going to score it 4-6.
For my one.
Alan's favour.
Interesting. I'm not. I literally only do well at Bald Hill. So this could be a surprising one. I might have to take Brett on this, but we'll see. We'll come back to it. Have you got anything?
I certainly do. I would love the Street League precursor. What did you say? Who did you say Leo was up against?
Leo up against Joel.
I would love a Leo v. Joel precursor, please.
All right. So I want to.
Hang on. Is Joel even playing?
Oh, no, he's not.
Forget that. Let's go Leo versus Penn.
This is so annoying. So the last time that they were at Ruffy and you asked for Leo versus Penn, and Leo's obviously really shit at social days and really, really shit at Ruffy Lake. Like, historically shit at Ruffy Lake. And I gave him, like, a real high number. And then he fucking killed it. And I'm real still dirty on it. I think I might have given you, like, a 7 for him. Because he was that trash there. But I'll have to go one different this time. I think 6-4, Penn's the favorite.
Yeah, not smart. Smart by you. I'm jumping on it, though. Give me a bit of 4-4 Penn, please. Yeah,
you should. I can't give him another 7.
Yeah.
And Penn's such a piece of shit, he doesn't really care about the social day, too. So, like, when he lost, he's like, yeah, Leo's better than me. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Like, shut up. Smart pick by you.
Thank you.
All right. What about this one? I don't love, but I want. I think he's going to fire up, so that's why I want to go for it. Marcus Davies, all-time high metrics rating. He's up to 883, which is pretty high. But I think he's got more to go. I think he likes Ruffy Lake. Top half handicap. What do you got?
Oh, that's problematic, isn't it? Because for years, you know, for years we've been 5-5 for this no-brainer. But, you know, if you gave me 5 for David Heath to go bottom half, I would jump at it. I feel like if I give you 5 for Marcus Davies to go top half, you'd be dumb not to jump at it. And he has to be the exception to the rule. We have to show our knowledge here. This kid is on the climb. He is playing in his backyard. He will get top half. I can't make it a 3. It still deserves a 4. But, yeah, no, he's a 4 for top half. 6 for bottom half.
I don't like it. Because I refuse to pick him for bottom half because, like, I want to see him do it. But I don't love those odds. His metrics rating is so high right now. He's got to put in work to beat that.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He's going top half. He's going top half comfortably.
I'll have one more and I'll make my decision. What do you got? Jace Wiener versus Matty Farina.
Yes, this is fucking elite.
I saw that little matchup and I was like, that's going at the tipping.
Yeah, that is elite. You know what? Oh, God, I wish they were in Div C. I nearly said 7-7 then. Because they are so fucking volatile. That's the whiskey talking. 6-6.
6-6.
Yeah, of course.
Pick your 6. Well, I'm leaning, so I like a Jace Wiener for 6. I like a Brett Zeebel for a 6. And I like a Marky Davis for 6. Don't love any of the 4s, but I don't want to bet against Marky because it'll piss me off if he gets it. I don't like betting against myself either, so I'll have to take Jace Wiener for 6. Jace over Matty.
Smart. And if you were reading the social day results we were reading, Jason's really good.
Yeah, I think he's up and about.
Even though they were the wrong results, he's up and about. Yeah. You've chosen the right 6 there. That's the odds on 6 out of all those 6s.
All right, good deal. We got some spotlight, not light.
Go on then.
My spotlight. Fuck, is that one this one? Spotlights! Yes. Goes to Carol Heath. So we saw a socials post from her today that Dan Gorringe, known AFL, what do you want to call him? Podcaster.
Yeah.
Gave a shout out. He's like the real hero of this offseason is whoever has been photoshopping the new jerseys onto the traded players. And, I know Carol works at AFL, and by context of this video, I'm assuming she's the one who's been photoshopping all these things on. So sick work that she's done there, and cool that she got herself a little shout out, and even cooler that she's like, have a look at me. So well done, yes. Carol. That's my spotlight.
We do love a little bit of look at me.
We do.
Well spotted by you. My spotlight, I don't have anything, but I do want to say as I just frantically Google it, and I don't know how he actually finished out in the end, but mine's going to go to none other than the Lefty King himself. Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. This is a good spotlight for me. The Lefty King himself, just the absolute king of lefty, and I hope he's able to put in a full season next year. None other than 6th place finisher at USDGC, Austin Turner.
Nope.
Sick couple of events from him this year. He got the Majestic done. He got second at the MVP Music City Open. He had some 40s and 60s in between, and then he pulled off 6 at USDGC. I just think that kid has a really high ceiling, and I want to see more from him next year.
Nice. Sounds good. My not lights go to these little bitch events that are going on this weekend. we've got 3 events going on in Australia this weekend, and they're all real bitchy. What I mean by that is the attendance. So we got the City of Burnie Open, 16 players. Gross. The Snowy Mountain Marathon, 27 players. Gross. And over in Perth, we've got Oktoberfest, which I'm just getting up now, which I also believe has fuck all players. 44, not bad. But I mean, altogether, they've got a decent tournament. Like, what's going on? What are these other states doing? Like, what event in Victoria happens besides like an Oz Disc? And even an Oz Disc Day, we had more than 27 surely at all the Oz Disc Days. I mean, that's trash. Well, these other states suck. That's all I've got to say. Is every other state is terrible at disc golf. And
how many
Victoria's
coming to just the random Bald Hill Social Day this weekend?
It was 72.
And what's the cap?
What's up?
And what's the cap?
72. It's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. Every other state's trash, and that's my not light.
Nah, well done, well done. Mine, I'm going to stick with the Pro Tour theme, and I'm going to have to. We spoke about it last week. We got a bit tasty on like, oh, will he make cash? Will he Nwoni? He's put in all the practice in the world. None other than T104th. Will Shoestree. Pretty disappointing. Let's just read out his round ratings here. We've got a 943. That's my new rating. 940. That's below my new rating. And 959 from Will Shoestree. He has played Chris Ronald's level golf at the USDGC. Disappointing to see.
He gets rolled by almost everyone, but like Barry Schultz is 64. Steve Brince is 64. He's getting rolled by them. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But in general, just a pretty rough USDGC from the old dogs. Nate Sexton in T88, which is not good. But I think, is he retired?
Pretty much.
I don't know. Right there with Joel Freeman, though. Like, I feel like he was good yesterday, and he's trash now.
Yeah.
And who else? Nate Doss, strong start, but ended up T73. He was above the cut line after round one. And Jeremy Colling in T67. So a few former winners just not really producing. But I do love that rule. I do love that rule, and I don't give a shit if they're taking someone's spot. Just be better. And I it's going to be pretty hectic if they're going to keep keep having new winners, and the last like 15 spots are all just going to be old boys.
Yep.
But I do love that rule. What about you?
Yeah, of course. Like it's romantic, and it would have been great if Will Shoestreak did not shit the bed. But not only is it romantic, you end up with these old dogs who are just like holding on by the skin of their teeth to 1,000 rated disc golfers. And yet again, you essentially get what the tee off would call rating manipulation, because it's just maths. Like you've got these pool of players that get gapped by the better players. Like when David Perry fucking played, he's better than everyone else.
Oh, I love it. Yep. Well, that's it for us. Make sure you check out Chris on Park Clubhouse. And other than that, thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.